Blog Talk Radio.
Is it any wonder that I've fallen for you? You're the spell I'm under, and I'm helpless, it's true.
Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Last night I was watching the Fox narration by Britt Yoon on George Bush the first, Big Bush, and he is truly a man of accomplishment. What was really sad was to watch a pilot fish feeding off the big shark, trying to make himself his equal, and that's President Pinocchio Pants, a draft dodger, a guy that never put on a combat boot, and yet we elected him President of the United States. And I had a flashback of when we lost our country, and I think we lost it on in the 70s. And the single indicator was the Battle of Woodcrap, when the communist who had stabbed the GIs in the back in Nam had a big party upstate New York, and I remember one rodent standing there and going, "We blocked the throughway." Oh, man, is that like taking artillery fire in Way of Vietnam? Huh? When those Marines stood there to prove a point so some general could say that we weren't overrun? Man, we blocked the throughway. Aren't you a warrior? We blocked the throughway. Yippee. And who was up there singing Death to America? All the communists. And that's when we lost our country. And you know what was the incense of traitorism? Pot. And pot is the symbol of the ruination of the United States. And you don't believe it, and that's because you're stupid. And one day, you will be walking the roadside like the death march to Bataan, and some enemy of the United States is going to bayonet you in the back because you're too slow. And all the pot in the world ain't gonna help you, sonny. What a nation. We've gone from an industrial power to a mafia. We got a mafia government who makes all its money on shakedowns, selling drugs, running the numbers, and we're doing it all for the students who are dumber today than they were yesterday. The students. Yes. Do you know that the students in Rwanda are more educated than students in the United States? Schmuck, you lost your country. You lost your country, and you're smoking pot. And pot is good because the government's getting 25% of the action. Yeah. And what's worse than that? Oh, there's other things that are worse than that. How about an increase in the minimum wage? Oh, yeah, that's good, brother. Yeah, we're going to get a $3 increase. Yeah, and the government's going to take a buck and a half. How come the government, who wants you to have an increase in the minimum wage, isn't saying, we'll give you the whole $3? No, because you're a tax sucker, and the government is a tax junkie. Want more pot? Everybody's going to have pot. We're going to be free. You're going to be free. You better start watching Roman history. But the good news is, while the Party of Death, the Party de la Muerte, the Communist Party, formerly the Democrats, are lining up their candidates for the takeover and the takedown of the United States. The Communist Party, who used to be the Democrat Party, but now the Democrat Party has moved over to the Rhino section. And the Rhinos are the new Democrats. And we'll be naming names today. There's a list. The Socialist Party of America has 70 congressmen that they have listed, 12 of whom are on Socialist Soviet committees, who are congressmen in the United States, and they're all the same rats you see that the media prances out. The media, and never forget, the media elects the president, you don't, unless you take down the communist media. But I have good news for you tonight. I have found a candidate that can save the country for president. I got the man for the job. No strings attached. He is not indebted to anybody. He takes no George Soros money. He takes no Stalin money. He takes no foreign government money. He takes no champagne contributions. He takes no bribes. He sells no pardons. He is a man for all seasons. And we're going to have to fight our way out of this mess. And we need a leader with experience, one who loves this country and is a warrior, one who can protect the Constitution, the people, and knows how to plan. You look at this grab, this money grab called Obama Health Care. All it was a money grab. They had four layers of people sucking the tax money for health care, and they, instead of eliminating one, they added another layer, which was the federal government. And the federal government, in the back room with John Kerry, who was trading stocks on which pharmaceuticals he was going to make money on once the health care bill was passed, and selling the stocks on the pharmaceutical companies who were going to be cast out, John was insider tradering, which, by the way, is legal if you're a communist senator or a communist congressman. You can trade your country. Yep. It's called inside tradering, and it's legal. And when the people screamed that it was illegal, they said, okay, you know what, we're going to rescind that bill. And 30 days later, when nobody was looking, they reinstated it. That's how dumb we are. That's how gullible we are. Yeah, and if you expose them, you know what they do? We'll turn this right. We're shocked and appalled. We'll turn this over to the FBI. So, what are we going to do? We need a hero. We need a leader, one who can protect the Constitution. the people and knows how to plan. One who has earned the trust of the American people already. Everything we do from today on is to solidify his base. Let's go to war. Everybody's talking revolution. Everybody's talking impeachment. Let's go to war and let's win an election. Our presidential candidate is General Stanley McChrystal for a United States. And as of 2/15/14, he's endorsed by the Spirit of America Party. Hallelujah. And what else? We got pictures of him, and you can go. And this is, there's two things I got to tell you. Go to General Stanley McChrystal and look up his images. Also, on YouTube, you can go to Thank You, General McChrystal, Abutom, A-B-U-T-O-M. And you can hear Joan Jett sing, I think it's Joan Jett, sing I Need a Hero. And that's what this country needs. It needs a hero. We don't need a Hollywood-created POS. We need an American, a real live American hero. And if you remember the history of General McChrystal, he was commander in Afghanistan. He was a hands-on battlefield commander, the kind that Patton likes, the kind that Chesty Puller likes. And he was the first casualty in the communist takedown of the U.S. military, and other officers followed. He was replaced by General Petraeus. And then General Petraeus was taken down. And I think he was replaced by General Allen. And General Allen was taken down. And now, under the Obama conversion to UN military, we have had 300 American officers, not counting the ones that are rotting in Leavenworth, taken down. 300 American officers have been taken out of action and replaced with politically correct communists. So the first casualty in the communist takedown of the U.S. military was General McChrystal, and others would follow. And he who fights and steps aside will return to restore American pride. Strike for your country, boys. Rally around a proven leader. No more MBS. You know what MBS is? Make believe a Shiite. So having said that, we will turn to an American tune. Do we need a fighting tune? We want something with a little guts in it? Let's see what we can give you. We can give you, I got plenty of them. What's this one say? Yeah, we'll save that for next month. That's McNamara's band. Let's see what we got here. I know which tune is really, this tune will get you. It's a tune they're trying to ban now. They want to replace it with something more communist. Let me see if I can find it. I just had it. Come on, here we go. Okay. Do you know why you put your hand over your heart? You put your hand over your heart when you hear the Star Spangled Banner and the Pledge of Allegiance. That's because the heart is the most vital part of your body, and your hand over your heart is to protect you and the nation. doing some homework on Joseph Stalin, and there's a very interesting book, and I'm trying to remember the name of it, and it's written by a, I don't think he's a Russian, he might be Lithuanian, but he covered Stalin all the years that Stalin was around killing people, and it's astonishing to learn that the difference between the Socialist Party of Germany and the Socialist Party of Russia is that, you know, they're both socialist parties, just one has a different uniform than the other, but they both have the same goals, mainly to destroy God. That's number one. To destroy the family unit is number two, and to destroy everybody who's not a communist is number three. Stalin was very paranoid and didn't trust anybody. That's usually the way communists operate. The man on the top kills all his allies. You look at Hitler and Stalin, they made a pact that they were going to split Europe in two. You could have this country, I'll take this country. They played a little game. And then Hitler double-crossed his socialist brother. Stalin didn't trust his own military. He executed 40,000 officers. Gee, I hope Obama isn't thinking of doing the same. I mean, 300 is not 40,000. And Stalin was about to continue Hitler's work of exterminating the Jews. And in 1953, he started his little pogrom. And I don't know if he planned to kill or he did kill a million Jews. But one of the things he was paranoid about was Jewish doctors. So he proceeded to exterminate the Jewish doctors because he believed that they could kill Russians and get away with it. And there's a story about a writer who was opposing Stalin, and Stalin had him shot and then run over by a truck so it looked like he was killed in an accident. What a nice guy, huh? But anyway, he was about to exterminate all the Jews in Russia. And here's an ironic. You ready for this? I used to joke and say God gave him a stroke. But he died of a stroke. And do you know what day he died? He died on the Jewish holiday of Purim. How's that? So this lady has written, her name is National Director D, and she wants us to know that the ACLU is born out of a Stalinist heritage. Noted author Paul Kengor has unearthed the declassified letters and other documents in the Soviet Comintern archives linking early leaders of the ACLU with the Communist Party. Now, you got to remember one thing. The Communists infiltrated the United States many, many moons ago. And during World War II, they were very successful in penetrating the State Department, the OSS, and the UN, among other agencies, and also Los Alamos, where they had spies spying on other Russian cells who didn't know they were Russian cells too. So we have had a history of Russian spies infiltrating on the payroll Americans who took Russian money, communist money, to destroy the United States. And the classic example, of course, is the Rosenbergs, who got the electric chair. So Kengor found a May 23, 1931 letter in the archives signed by ACLU founder Roger Baldwin, written on ACLU stationery to then Communist Party Chairman William Z. Foster, asking him to help ACLU Chairman Harry Ward with his then upcoming trip to Russia. The letter suggests Ward intended to visit the Soviet Union to find evidence from Soviet Russia that would undermine the capitalist profit motive. And here's a word to the wise of Wall Street to wake up. If you see this communist mayor in New York starting to single you out for cuts, you better start to look for another place to live, because this guy will pull a Jesse Jackson on you. The Ukrainian government considers this to be an... Oh, I'm moving ahead of myself. Baldwin wrote a letter at a time when Stalin was deporting 1.8 million Ukrainian peasants to Siberia under his policy of the forced collectivization of agriculture. Watch out for eminent domain. It's a tool of the communists. And just fight every eminent domain case with your whole heart and soul, because it's the beginning of the takedown of America, which resulted in the deaths of up to 10 million Ukrainians in the 2 years that followed. 10 million Ukrainians. The Ukrainian government considers this to be an act of genocide. I talked to a guy that he's very sympathetic to the Ukrainians who were butchered by Stalin, and he tells me that the Ukrainian, this generation of Ukrainians has no idea what happened, has no idea what happened because of re-education. Communist schools like we have here in the United States. The Ukrainian government considers this to be an act of genocide. Foster was a key figure in the early years of the American communist movement. The Nazis died in 1945. The communists have grown stronger and continue to grow stronger every day. And when the wall fell, came down, that was not the end of the Cold War. That was the beginning of a new phase of the domination of the United States by communist forces. Foster was a key figure in the early years of the American communist movement, who belonged to the ACLU's National Committee in the 20s. According to FBI documents, he later wrote a book titled Toward Soviet America in 1932, and also testified under oath before Congress that he opposed American democracy. Another letter on ACLU letterhead Kengor found in the Soviet archives. You know what else was found in the Soviet archives? The Venona Papers. You know what the Venona Papers proved? That everything that Joe McCarthy said was true. You ask anybody about McCarthy, they have no idea. They don't know what you're talking about. But they do know the communist buzzword, McCarthyism. Beware of anybody who accuses you of McCarthyism. That is a communist that is making that accusation. So where were we? He asked the Communist Party to schedule Foster's trips around the Soviet Union and offers to help keep the police at bay. Asked to schedule around the country, maybe this country. It also asked for the names and addresses of Communist Party representatives in the city where Foster was speaking. So he's coming to the United States to talk. Kengor was also found a flyer from 1933 advertising ACLU board member Corliss Lamont as a headline speaker for Soviet Union Day, which its organizers hope would answer lies and slanders of enemies of the Soviet Union. These guys are all here, and they're promoting the Soviet Union against the United States, and they're Americans. That cracks me up when I hear an American citizen is captured overseas, and then they announce his name. Yeah, he's an American citizen turned terrorist, and his name is Fauzi. Yeah, Fauzi, the Bowsy Wowsy. Give me a break, man. Kengor also found a flyer from 1933 advertising ACLU board member Corliss Lamont as a headline speaker for Soviet Union Day, which his organizers hoped would answer lies and slanders of enemies of the Soviet Union. The documents found their way into the Soviet archives because the Communist Party sent all of its correspondence to the Comintern in Moscow for safekeeping. Other documents released in the 1990s by KGB defector Vasily Mitrokhin show the American Communist Party was under the Moscow's direct control until 1989. If it's under control, that means it gets paid by the Soviet Union. These guys were advocating a regime that arguably was the biggest mass murder in all of human history, Kengor said. Where is the moral authority in that? Kengor told the Daily Caller he found numerous other documents in the Soviet Comintern activities that also show a close relationship between the Communist Party and the ACLU. Here's a by the way. By the way, I'm looking up Joe McCarthy because I want to learn more about him, because it seems like he was the only guy, he was a one-man band standing up against the entire communist movement in the United States. And so I started looking, if you do Joe McCarthy images, you know, or you do anything in the word images, you'll get all kinds of photos on the subject you're working on. So I do Joe McCarthy images, and I went through 400 images of Joe McCarthy. 20 on a page times 20 pages. On every page, besides Joe McCarthy, there's one picture of an American. Do you know who it is? Ted Cruz. Now, why are they putting pictures of Ted Cruz in with Joe McCarthy? Because they're getting ready to accuse Cruz of being a McCarthyite. These documents corroborate rumors that have been circulating about the ACLU founders and early leaders dating back to the 1920s. The ACLU would not comment on Kengor's research, but the ACLU's official history describes its founders as a small group of idealists who began the organization amid the Palmer raids of late 1919 and early 1920 against so-called radicals. The problem here is what is being left out of the narrative, Kengor said. Palmer, who was an attorney general to Woodrow Wilson, the great progressive's progressive, understood, as did the Wilson administration, that many of these radicals were American communists who were literally devoted to the overthrow of the U.S. government and the replacement with the Soviet American Republic. American communists actually stated such things in their proclamations, documents, and flyers. Kengor catalogs many of these in his book, Dupes. If you look at a lot of things about the ACLU's early history, you will see a lot of things that are pro-communist. What I'm trying to say about this group is that from the outset was on the farthest extremes of the left. It was atheistic. Certain members were pro-communist and would argue that the ACLU itself in the 1920s was pro-communist as defined by the writings and belief of its founders, key officials, and board members. Kengor, however, does not believe today's ACLU is communist, but he argues it still pushes its founders' militant atheism. Kengor said a conservative group would not receive the same sort of pass from the press. My friends, the press elects the president. You don't. Until you come to realize that the press elects the president, you will not be able to counter their moves and their propaganda style. Kendor said that they would not receive the same press that the left were it discovered the founders had been Nazi or fascist ties. Nazi and communist to me is the same thing. The uniforms are different. So what else? You want to get deeper into this now? No, we'll just, the ACLU is in court every day to destroy the Constitution. They may not be communists, but they are a big enemy of the Constitution. Here's a little a blog on Trey Gowdy. Let's see what they're saying about Trey Gowdy. I believe that our communist enemies, the Democrat Party, they're ready to lynch a Trey Gowdy. I believe they will dig up something on him that will destroy him. They love to do that. And they're very good at it. They are very good at it. Trey Gowdy calls Nancy Pelosi mind-numbling stupid. So, let me see what else. We don't need to hear anything more. Cutting throats, beheadings, and bombings. Okay. There's a picture of Chris Matthews and Obama. It's a pirate movie. Obama's the pirate with his shirt open and his abs on display, and Chris Matthews is the wench. Olympians say food and sushi is almost as bad as a Michelle Obama school lunch. Unbelievable. Somebody said Mitt Romney is out there. Said we don't need to see him. He lost. Write him off. Get him out of the way. He's a nice guy. But nice guys are finished last. And that only counts in lovemaking. Hang in there. We'll give you a tune. You want a tune? We'll give you a tune. Let's see if we can find something good. Oh, yeah. This is a good one because it's snowing. Oh, it's too long. It's 10 minutes. Well, here we go. I got to do something better. I got to do something different. Oh, you want an American tune? Or would you rather hear the Iranian national anthem? You want me to play the Iranian national anthem?
Der Ballgame zum Eulen war mir doch kein. Keut mir den misslochen Cracker-Jack, will ich kein Mut und dort nicht weg. Ist der Mut, die Ballspieler, es passt nicht als ein Karspiel. Weil sie sehen, zwei, drei, zwei, 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 der Baseballspiel. Mensch, Amerika, Land, wo sich lieb, steh je bei ihr, Madrich sei ihr, überall echt astral und flieb. Und die Berge, nur die Prairies, bis die Armen, weiß mich schon.
Some headlines from Patriot Update. Top stories. UAW crushed in vote attempting to unionize at Volkswagen plant in Tennessee despite Obama intercession. I like when Obama visited us, what was it, Solyndra? And the government just plopped in a $500 million, was it? Or was it billion? These guys play with the decimal point, drives me crazy. And Obama walked through this brand new beautiful plant, and when he walked out, they closed it. Yeah, just in time after, okay, cut, you can close it now. Yeah, We all need a more solar power. How about we get some pocket power, money in the pocket power? Obama uses pulpit to push the wage hike. I'm for the wage hike all the way. And all Republicans should be for the wage hike. If it's 7 now and you want to bring it to 10, I have no problem with it. There's only one caveat. The $3 wage hike has to be tax-free. The government cannot make one penny on the suffering of poor people. Federal judge overruling gay marriage, a ban, confuses the Constitution for the Declaration of Independence. Well, what can you expect? He's a federal judge. That's a lawyer in a robe, isn't it? Lawmakers push probes of two state Obamacare exchanges. Oh, man. You know, I got a bit that I do. I love this country. Everything free. I have 9 Social Security numbers. I buy a house in Lake Munchkin with food stamp. I pay $5 million. I live next door to Reverend Wright. He taught me how to steal. Yeah, I love this country. Everything free. You got to go serve. You got to go into the military. I'm not going in the military. I hate this country. This country do nothing for me. Yeah, I'm going back to Globia. Yes, I'm going back to the land of global warming. Pure gold. Obama slams Bush for expanding executive power, ignoring Congress. When I saw Bush and Clinton together, that's Bush Sr. and Clinton together, in that presentation piece narrated by Britt Yoon, I said to myself a long time ago, when you get to the top, it's all the same people. And the asset of people that count the assets of the richest presidents have the Clintons listed at 57 million. Now, I got to tell you something. That's a lie. They are worth more than that. 57 million is chicken feed. Just Google a Clinton, a Canadian businessman, Kazakhstan, uranium deal. And ask yourself where that uranium went. Canada has plenty of uranium. And it made that businessman the richest miner in the world. Now, you don't think that he gave a little commish? He didn't give a little schmear, a little gravy, a little grease to President Pinocchio pants? How much money is stashed in the library? Unbelievable. My guess is he's worth $600 million. Prove me wrong. Is there an accountant out there? Oh, by the way, when the revolution comes, we're going to shoot the accountants first. Why? Because they're the ones that are collecting the taxes for the government. And when the revolution comes, it's going to be blood-free. And all we're going to do is we're not going to pay any more taxes. And we're not going to send any money to Washington. In about 2 weeks, the place will be shut down. And it'll be more than little children going to visit the Oval Office. And it'll be more than veterans going to outdoor parks to say hello to guys who died alongside them. That's who Obama punished. As sure as he makes Marines carry his umbrella. Yes, this guy is a vengeful guy. He sent back the bust of Winston Churchill. Did you know that? Yeah. He's a bridge builder. And speaking of bridge building, you see all of these ambassadorships, the guy that bundled $500,000 in champagne contributions, and he got the ambassadorship, I think, to Norway. And they asked him, "Have you ever been to Norway?" He says, "No, but I love their sardines." We're in trouble, man. You know who should be ambassadors? And put an end to that payoff crap. Can put an end to that payoff crap tomorrow. You know who'll do that? General McChrystal. General McChrystal, when he's President McChrystal, he'll put an end to that ambassadorship buying. You know what he'll do? He will appoint only veterans in wheelchairs to be ambassadors. Where you want to go, Joe? Well, the wife and I were thinking of maybe the Caribbean. You got it, Joe. Do you know anything about St. Kitts? Not really. Okay. Meet with our geographic technician, our CIA expert on St. Kitts, and in 2 weeks we'll have you speaking St. Kittish. Yeah, unbelievable, man. What a nation of suckers. The American people, they're tax slaves. If I told you there was a generation that had one job, earned a $67 a week, paid $37 a month rent, lived like kings, didn't know they were poor, their children didn't know they were poor, their children were all slim, their children had more exercise than an Olympiad today, and they were off on Saturdays and Sundays, and usually went to church on Sunday as a family. And today, they're all going to divorce court. Yeah, he didn't cut me in on the action. He told me he was making this, and he lied to me. I want out. Yeah. Oh, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a fireman. Oh, that means you have a pension, right? Yes, I think I love you. Yeah, we're in trouble, man. We're in big trouble. In self, you know, the golden calf was melted down in Hollywood. They're giving out Oscars. Pure gold. Pure gold. Joe Scarborough, here's a rat. Here's a guy that turned rat. You go to NBC, I guess you must get an inoculation. They give you a shot in the neck of anti-American serum. He suggests de Blasio is in over his head after ridiculous snowstorm response. What do you expect from communists? They leave people to die in snowstorms. They're called gulags. Yeah. Obama, immigration reform will pass before I leave office. Yeah, it's not immigration reform. It's Communist Party recruitment. You got to remember where these people are coming from. They have nothing. They will vote. It's like Tammany Hall buying votes from the Irish guys coming off the boat. It's the same thing. The only thing is, when the Irish guys came off the boat, they gave them a military uniform and sent them down to the south. 80,000 Irishmen in the U.S. Army came off the boat. 20,000 rebels that were Irish came off the boat. But today, when I was draft eligible, before the communists took over the country, as soon as you got off the boat, you got your draft notice. If you were between 18 and 26, you got your draft notice. I served in the military with guys from Hungary, Germany, El Salvador, Ireland, England. So how long were you in the States? And I just got there and they got my draft notice. And the German guy was complaining. He says, I just came here to get away from Germany. We're going back. Yeah, but they were going back as Americans. And that's the difference. Today, we have been Serbian Croatian. Today, we are a divide and conquer nation. We're split up more than an amoeba. Let me give you a tune. America's spending money while France gets her chicks for free. Oh, did you see the French ambassador came here? And he had a problem. He has a wife and a mistress, and he didn't know who to bring. So he didn't bring anybody. But after the dinner, he left with another chick. Yeah, oh, those Frenchmen, they surrendered to everything. Hang in there, and we'll... Yeah, everybody's got a French flag in their back pocket. Yeah, it's white. Yeah, but I got to tell you one thing. If it wasn't for the French, we wouldn't be here. It was Louis XIV's money that kept the revolution going. And it was Louis XIV's army and navy that helped us at Yorktown. So vive la France. And there wasn't a greater guy than the Marquis de Lafayette, who bought a ship in France and sailed it to the United States, joined the U.S. military, and gave the ship to the Navy. Now, how do you like that? You want some trivia on Benedict Arnold, who betrayed his country? And I didn't know it. I picked this up the other day. His wife was fooling around with Major Andre. Yeah. She was pro-British, and she convinced Benedict Arnold to betray the United States. And she was having a relationship with Major Andre. You know who Major Andre is, don't you? He got caught with the plans for West Point in his boot, and they hung him on the spot. And here we got guys like KGB agent Snowden and Private Manning, who between the two of them have stolen a million documents and transferred them to the Soviet Union. And we call them heroes. That's what we are. That's how screwed up we are today. And let's see, we'll do the gypsy. Would you like to hear the gypsy?
In a quaint caravan, there's a lady they call the Gypsy.
Gypsy.
She can look in the future and drive away all your fears. If you only believe the gypsy. She can tell at a glance that my heart was so full of tears. She looked at my hand and told me my lover was always true. And yet in my heart I knew, dear, somebody else was kissing me. My lover is true and will come back to me someday.
An outfit called the Zionica, Christian news from around the globe, and their headlines for today, a couple of them. Three questions to ask before watching a movie, and another one is five surefire ways to motivate your son to use porn. So, and the latest challenge to the Bible's accuracy. Here's all you got to know about watching movies. Look for the Antichrist, anti-God, anti-country message. It's there. Look for it. Learn how to smell a rat. Let's see what else we got here. This one we got to do. 12 Senate Republicans who voted to silence Ted Cruz. And I told you about images, right? And they got Ted Cruz packed with Joe McCarthy pitches. So they're getting ready to do a big assailment on Ted Cruz. Okay, so here's a dirty dozen 12 Senate Republicans who voted to silence Ted Cruz. So let's see what it says here. They're called the Dirty Dozen, by the way. Now remember, the Democrat Party is now the Communist Party. The Rhino Party is now the Democrat Party. Once you realize that, and once you learn to say the word communist instead of progressive and liberal and left-wing, and never forget, there is no such thing as right-wing. Right-wing is mainstream American. When you cut them, they bleed red, white, and blue. Everyone knew that the debt ceiling deal would pass through the Senate on Wednesday. Even Ted Cruz had to know it. As soon as the House passed the deal on Tuesday, the writing was on the wall. Even so, Ted Cruz promised to fight for America once again and filibuster the legislation. Would that have changed things? More than likely not. But Ted Cruz is the voice of a lot of Americans who are fed up with the Washington, D.C. I'm telling you, if you want to give them Benghazi payback, which they've been covering up and will get away with, run General McChrystal for the presidency. You will rock the vote. The Democrats have already centered and focused on who they're going to shove down America's throat. The Republicans have done the same thing. They go to the Mickey Mouse debates, but they already know at the end on the platform is Jeb Bush. He's already down there waiting for the straggler to come in to finish him off. Let him try and finish off a General McChrystal. The guy eats one meal a day, runs 7 miles. Yeah. He's up for the game. He's up for the game. And he can take the heat. This morning I feel like my own tongue was cut out because there are few in the Senate who speak for me, yet Ted Cruz is one of them. The Senate vote for cloture passed 67-31 and could not have passed without the Republican votes. 60 votes were needed. These are the 12 who voted to silence Ted Cruz, as reported by The Hill. The Republicans who voted in favor of ending debate were McConnell. Match McConnell, I call him Match McConnell, voted to burn the flag 40 days before 9/11. Go to YouTube, get Flag Burners of Record, Abu Tam, and you will see Match McConnell standing with 40 Democrats voting to burn the flag. Cornyn, Orrin Hatch is no match for Chuck Schumer, never was, never will be. John McCain, he's lost it. John McCain should retire. He should retire and open up a nice Ted Kennedy souvenir shop. Corker and Senators Susan Collins of Maine, I call the two women from Maine the Cauldron Sisters. They look like they should be in a Macbeth play. And they never vote right. They never vote right. Jeff Flake, well, his name says it all, and he's from Arizona. Poor Arizona, man. What a beating they get. What a beating Arizona gets. Do you know that Arizona is a transfer point for probably 60% of all the drugs that come into the country? And John McCain, in all the years he's been in office, never did one drug bust. But now that we have the marijuana, which is good for glaucoma, everybody will be smoking weed on the job, off the job, in the bathroom, in kindergarten. Yeah. Mike Johans from Nebraska. Breaks my heart when I see somebody from Nebraska. Nebraska is the one state that has backbone. And I still remember under President Reagan, Nebraskan farmers committing suicide, hanging themselves in barns, because the same banks who convinced them to buy more acreage then foreclosed on them when they couldn't make the mortgage payment. Mark Kirk of Illinois and Barrasso of Wyoming. I don't trust him. He looks like a guy, you know, if you put him near the register, he listens for the ka-ching. Knowing that it's open, he can do a quick piano play. Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, she's got to go. Alaska is frontier country. Alaska is pioneer country. Alaska is total independence country. Alaska, everybody's got a gun, including the women. And the one that breaks my heart, because I sent him money to oppose the big charlatan, Dashiell. I wanted to see Dashiell out. Dashiell was a big backstabber. John Thune. I got to say it. I was for John Thune. I got a picture on my back wall here, him and his family. Thank you for your donation. But I got to tell you that John Thune has sold out to the mainstream Republicans. He's going to be the royal Republicans. He's going to be with them. And Barrasso are also members of leadership. That is really sad. I'll take my chances with Ted Cruz, but I'm telling you, if you want to give these bastards payback, and General McChrystal will accept our party's nomination, be it the Teabag or the Spirit of America Party, which has got one member, that's the guy to put in there, McChrystal. The troops won't get screwed like they're being screwed now. There'll be no 1% cut. There'll be no closing of commissaries and firing of the wives that work there to make ends meet. There'll be no putting two cans back on the shelf the next week. McChrystal's going to take care of his people. If you go to my endorsement of McChrystal, if you go to YouTube, thank you, General McChrystal. You'll see different photos of McChrystal in action, but the one that's most important, the one that should mean everything to you as an American, is there is a private or a sergeant saluting a general. That general is McChrystal. And do you know what McChrystal is doing? He's not returning the salute. He reaches out with his hand to shake the sergeant's hand. You don't see that in the military every day. That's a rare and unusual individual. And payback is a bitch, and that's the guy that can do the job. And you'll never have to worry about your country being sold out to the UN. You'll never have to worry about your country being sold out to a foreign interests. You'll have the right man in the right spot, and all he wants to do is serve the American people. And he owes nobody a favor, because we're the ones that are going to submit him for his opportunity to become president. And if you want to do something for your country, you're not going to go out and when they come to take your guns away. Chances are you're going to let them walk all over you. You're not going to put up a fight when they take your land away using eminent domain. Chances are you're going to let them walk all over you. And you're going to look and you're going to cry like that Frenchman on the corner when the German army came marching by. But if you want to fire a shot for freedom without firing one shot, Your one shot is to vote for the election of General McChrystal. He is an apple cart upsetter. He'll be coming out of right field, and he's the guy to get behind. And then you'll be able to see who your enemies are. And they're not all communist Democrats. They are also Democrat or Republicans, like these 12 senators who couldn't stand. The Democrat Party, they stand together to a man. You will never see a Democrat betray another Democrat. If Bill Clinton was demonstrating flagrante delicioso on the desk at the Oval Office, the Democrats would tell you it's not his fault, it's global warming, his temperature is climbing. They never betray one of their own. They don't care how many kids they got to vote to kill. Abortion is their baby. Stabbing the troops in the back is standard operating procedure. These are the people who gave us wood crap. We blocked the throughway, man. We blocked the throughway. Joan Baez is here singing Kill All the Americans. That's her top song. There was a cartoonist who was great. He was an American cartoonist. That they should study him in Communist Cucumber School. His name was Al Capp. He was one of the most... He had the senators in his cartoons called Senator Foghorn. He had Little Abner, he had Daisy May, he had Kickapoo Joy Juice, which was, he had a guy named Joe Blisterflick. And Joe Blisterflick, every time, wherever he was, tragedy struck. And you see a picture of him, he's on the train tracks and two trains are colliding. And he had a beautiful woman, Moon. I was in love with her as a kid. Her name was Moonbeam McSwine. Yeah. And Al Capp called Joan Baez a phony Joni. He hated her. And Al, I know you're up there in heaven. I hope you're watching over us, buddy, because we're going to need you to get our country back. We're going to need your prayers, pal. So hang in there, and we'll, I think we're out of time, but we'll do one more tune until we meet again when we blow the ram's horn. If there's a picture up on the Tonight Show. It's the 40 GIs who died in a politically correct ambush in Afghanistan. 22 SEALs were on the plane. It was 30 GIs. 22 SEALs were on the plane. One of the SEALs I got a separate picture of, and you know what? He's carrying a big, heavy pack. And you know what's on his pack? A shofar, a ram's horn. I guess when he's really feeling hot to trot, he blows it, right? And they're all gone. You got to see them. Everyone is Hollywood actor material for looks. Fantastic guys. There wouldn't be a girl in the world that wouldn't want to bring one of them home. One of the saddest ones is a Filipino fella. I think he's Filipino. And he's the only one that's not in uniform. He's in a tux. He must have just got married. And you can, it's his picture, stand alone. They've cut out the wife from the picture, but you can see her hand on his arm. Young guy. These guys were all under 30 years old. They were worth at least $1 million each. And they loved their country, and they followed orders without question. And here you got a president that couldn't take a 911 phone call. And Hillary Clinton, who said she'd be ready at 3 o'clock, and she wasn't ready either. They sold out their country. They sold it out for political favors. And God is going to punish them big time. And I hope General McChrystal becomes his sword. So we're going to go out with the Faith of Our Fathers.